Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn how curcumin, that's the active ingredient in turmeric, the spice from which curry is made, suppresses what is called the aldosterone-induced CPR generation. What does that mean? Well, in lay language, it means that one of the reasons you end up having an elevated C-reactive protein, and especially in your smooth muscle cells, and how that contributes to the likelihood of having a heart attack, is inflammation. So curcumin suppresses that inflammatory response and hence saves you from having heart attacks and strokes due to this aldosterone-induced C-reactive protein generation. Something complex, yes, at the biochemical level. Something simple at the prevention and solution level. Absolutely. We have a lot more on health and healing, as we always do, always in peer-reviewed journals and respected institutions. This was at the Hebei University of Chinese Medicine. Also today, I'm going to do a commentary about why you should believe absolutely, unequivocally, unchallengingly, the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, Anderson Cooper, Dr. Gupta. You should believe everything stated in any of the publications on television and even on radio when it comes to rolling up your sleeve and getting your shot. You shouldn't even question the safety and efficacy. Interesting commentary coming ahead. Unless I mean just the opposite. Also today, we're going to explore several other issues on COVID. Why? Because never before in American or world history have an entire nation, by extension other countries, been in the mercy of a disinformation campaign, a beautifully orchestrated propaganda campaign, where all the major media of the world are on one side of the equation, big pharma making a profit, and the public, not knowing who to trust, what to believe, are about to be victims. So wherever possible, I will share this forum, which, by the way, just so you know, is the number one progressive forum in the world. And it is not a forum for conservatives or liberals, the Democrats or Republicans. You never hear those politicians on the air here. Nor the same tired pundits defending whatever is done at the behest of the special interest groups. Instead, you hear the mavericks. You hear the people who have the truth, scientists, Nobel Prize winners, citizen journalists, investigative journalists. So today we are going to talk about, we can't trust whether the truth on COVID will be told. It's by a journalist in Australia, and he risks his career by saying it. He's already been attacked for saying this. Also, the swamps desperate to silence the intel. There's a person you have not heard of, highly respected scientist, PhD, who tells us the truth about where he has found COVID originated and who owns the patent on COVID. You put those two together and you start to thinking, well, hold on a second. Then this just didn't happen by accident. A bat was infected and then infected an animal at a meat market, a fresh market, and then someone ate that and then infected the world. It didn't happen that way. Only a fool would believe that. And also, we're going to have someone from a more satirical point of view, this is talking about new revelations on the COVID death count. And by the way, just before we begin, Saturday a week ago, Robert Kennedy appeared in Berlin. And I didn't know the count. Some news organization said it was 39,000. Turns out it was over 1 million. I repeat, 1 million people in Berlin alone. Peaceful, representing coalitions of freedom of choice movements around the world. Dozens and dozens of countries were represented. No neo-Nazis were invited. No right-wing radicals were invited. None spoke. I see a list of all the presenters. Now, we played you part of Robert Kennedy's speech, and we played you his press conference the day before, and yet he was so accurate. He said, Tomorrow or later today, CNN, the other publication in America, will say Robert Kennedy supported 3,500 neo-Nazis, and hence the BBC condemned it. All the media in the world condemned it and didn't highlight the actual number of people or what was actually said. So one of the publications in America, a corporate Democrat publication, did an article. Robert Kennedy got a top professor of law at Duke University to write a response. I'll read the response and show you the truth on my program. I can't account for any other program on this station, but mine, I can't. Because we know Robert Kennedy. I know him personally. We work together. We have conversations. He is telling the truth, and he has the evidence to support it. Mary Holland, one of the greatest professors of international law, and also a major advocate for women's freedom of choice, she will be on the program tomorrow. She was at the rally. And she says, and I'm going to ask her if it's correct, I'm going to ask her, does she still stand by it if it was correct, that when the vaccines come, and they will, and when they're mandated, and they will be in New York, California, Virginia, and Vermont and other states, she says that 1 million Americans could die. Now, I don't know if she still holds that position, but we'll find out tomorrow. So we have a lot to share. And also, I know some people, I don't know how many, have been calling in our talkback number and leaving messages, because most people listen to this program in the evening. So we're going to go to that line today. We're going to go to our voicemail. And by the way, if you want to leave a voicemail, write down the number, please. In fact, right now, and there's a good reason for this, and I'll give you this announcement later in the show, it's really important you write down the numbers. Let me say that again. It is essential, absolutely essential, for everyone in this audience to write down these numbers. Because what I will not do is what Luann got over 1,000 phone calls. What happened to Gary? Well, those people were not paying attention. So I'm telling you, pay attention. Here are the numbers. For the voicemail, to leave your comments, providing that it is a legitimate question or a legitimate concern, we'll address either one. 862-800-6805, 862-800-6805. In order to go to our archives, that's about 97-98% of the people listen to this show, here's the number. Write it down. 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. And for everyone that listen live, meaning Monday to Friday, noon to 1, Tuesday on the Progressive Commentary Hour, 7 to 8, got an interesting show for tomorrow. Write this number down, 774-337-6068, 774-337-6068, okay? That way, you're always in the loop, and we list hundreds of articles from around the world telling the truth, not just parroting the lies that are told by the mainstream media. Now let's go to the latest on health and healing. And I gave you the first one. That's important, that curcumin can turn off inflammation that lowers your C-reactive protein's capacity to cause a heart attack. And by the way, it's a silent killer. Homocysteine, when it's elevated, up around 14, 15, 16, 17, you won't know it, you won't feel it. You can just drop dead of a heart attack or have a stroke. So you want both of those lowered. Lowering your homocysteine and lowering your C-reactive protein are relatively easy. The essential fatty acids, around 1,500 milligrams a day, that'll do it. Vitamin B1, B2, B6 at 50 milligrams a day. Vitamin B12 at 1 milligram per day. Folic acid methylated at 1 milligram per day, and vitamin C at around 2,000 milligrams a day. That really helps bring down your homocysteine level and prevents that from happening. But curcumin also is very good, because curcumin can turn off inflammation in your brain, your joints, your musculature, all over. It's terrific. And there are thousands and thousands of studies on it. From Laval University in Quebec, a meta-analysis, meaning many different studies, and they're looking for commonality, finds DHA and EPA, those are the two active ingredient in fish oil, have similar anti-inflammatory effects. So it means that when you have sardines, I'm a vegan and I promote veganism, but also I have to be very realistic and I have to be very empathetic for people who themselves cannot cook a vegan diet. Most people are not. There are only 3% of the American population are vegans. Now, that's not a little amount. That's still about 12 million Americans. But it's still 97% of Americans are not. And what they eat definitely contributes to their earlier or later life. And so what I do is I suggest things that if you are not going to be a vegan, healthy vegan, then at least try to make the healthiest choices from what you're doing. For example, instead of eating tilapia, sewer fish, I wouldn't go near tilapia if I were you, but wild sardines, the smaller the fish, the less toxins. And most of those are not caught in the polluted Pacific, but rather in the North Atlantic. That would be your healthiest fish. And then wild Alaskan salmon, those two. So if you have a family member that's not going to go vegan, at least get them healthy choices. So now they did these randomized clinical trials, and they're showing the DHA has stronger anti-inflammatory effects than EPA. And so that's good news. So if you're eating walnuts, avocados, flaxseed, hemp seed, you're getting your essential fatty acids from vegan sources, and that will lower your C-reactive protein, interleukin 6, tumor necrosis factor alpha, and adipone ectin, which is the primary outcome measures that you're looking for. Lower those. You reduce your risk of heart attacks and strokes. They also help with your vascular system and cardio system as well. An interesting study from Yale University. As the flu season approaches, and it will probably another 2 months, depending upon if we have an end in summer, meaning hotter days later into the fall, a public that is concerned, oh my God, are we going to have a second wave of coronavirus? They should understand that if you've had the common cold, you've had the most common or frequent cause of common colds, the rhinovirus, R-H-I-N-O virus. And it can prevent the flu virus from infecting airways by jump-starting the body's antiviral defenses. That's according to Yale University's article just published this week in The Lancet Microbe. So the findings help answer a mystery surrounding the 2009 H1N1 swine flu pandemic, which was an expected surge in swine flu cases, never happened in Europe during the fall, a period when the common cold becomes widespread. And so the Yale team, led by Dr. Ellen Foxman, studied 3 years of clinical data from 13,000 patients seen in the Yale New Haven Hospital for symptoms of respiratory infection. And the researchers found that even during months when both viruses were active, if the common cold virus was present, the flu virus was not. Isn't that interesting? So I commend the Yale team and the doctor who led it, Dr. Foxman. Good for you. Well done. That's really good science. So that's something to consider. Now, last week I did an article, which is posted. All my articles are posted. By the way, I'm going to be hiring a new web designer. And if you're interested, you can call our main number at 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422, or give your resume, and you must have good experience and have proof that you can do it, to prnstudio@gmail.com. prnstudio@gmail.com. Either way, it gets to us. And you'll give your information to Jesse. And he'll be selecting the person, because I'm going to have all my stuff that's on PRN moved over to my own website because it's so vast. I've got over 800 articles I've written and over 100 films. And I want more room on PRN for the other hosts. So now we're doing that, and we're starting this coming week. But I wrote an article, and it's posted, and I broadcast it, about fluoridation and how everything we've been told about fluoridation is wrong. It doesn't protect our teeth. It causes all forms of immune conditions, leading to cancer. And yet all this bad information is never offered by the mainstream media, the American Dental Association, or anyone else. But they've known about it. Well, now here's the latest. This is just today. This is from Örebro University in Sweden. Quote, highly fluoridated chemicals can increase the risk of diabetes and colic disease in children. Mm-hmm. Two more studies showing how bad it is, fluoridation. And I was speaking with someone yesterday. I counsel almost every day terminally ill people. But please, no calls, no emails, because I have so many people I have to get to. Sometimes I'm counseling like last night. That's why I'm a little hoarse today for almost 7 hours straight. So I'm sorry when my schedule of people is good enough. Since I only counsel terminally ill people, I'll let you know. I don't want people thinking, you could be 5 months out. But I was telling someone who had a very serious immune system that they needed methionine. M-E-T-H-I-O-N-I-N-E. And why? Because methionate stimulates your T cells, and your T cells are a very important part of your immune system. When you have defective T cell, that can malfunction in tumors and all kinds of problems. And that tumor cells disrupt methionine metabolism in CD8 T cells, thereby lowering intracellular levels of methionine, and the methyl donor, S-adenosine-methionine, or SAM, resulting in loss of dimethylation. Now, I don't want to be technical, and I don't want to go at the biochemical level to explain this. Just let me say that your immune cells need to know that T cells are able to combat all the different problems in your body, from tumor cells on. Methionine is just one of the very important nutrients that can help that process. So make sure that if you have any immune problem, you're making an effort to get your methionine into your body. And also from University of Surrey, which is in the United Kingdom, published in the Journal of Medical Microbiology, green tea, once again a champion of helping our bodies, can hold the key to reducing antibiotic resistance. What do I mean? Scientists at the University of Surrey have discovered that a natural antioxidant commonly found in all green tea can help eliminate antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And that's a big deal. It's the chemicals. It's what are called EPI, E-P-I, gallo, G-A-L-L-O, catechin, C-H-T-E-C-H-I-N, or abbreviated EGCG. Those are the chemicals in green tea that can help restore the activity of azithromycin, an antibiotic commonly used to treat infections based upon the bacterial pathogen Pseudomonas. So when you get sick or you have a weakened immune system, you're far more susceptible to having bacteria proliferate that are negative to the body. And then antibiotics are not able to get to that and kill it. Now, there are lots of ways to kill that, but normally you end up with antibiotic resistance, antimicrobial resistance. So that's just one thing. Green tea can help that. And also from University of Illinois comes a study that among poor sleepers, where you're waking up and you're not deeply asleep, you're going to end up with more high blood pressure that can increase stroke and the wrong gut microbiome. So cleansing, detoxifying, really giving yourself a real good wake-up call with your immune system, getting good bacteria into your gut, and eating foods without all the sodium and frying that can help your blood sugar. And then you'll get a good night's sleep. This was published in Physiological Genomics. That's the latest on health and healing. We are 20 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break and come back. When we come back from the break, we're going to go to one of these Let's say, let's start with, we can't trust whether the truth is being given to us on the actual desk. And why is this little short clip I'm going to play important? Because all along, I've said, the real good science is not being applied because they went ahead and started national lockdown programs based upon giving people faulty antibody tests from faulty kits. That's universally accepted now. Even Bill Gates said that they were all, you know, junk. But you're talking about millions of people were given junk tests, ended up with false positives, and then they were put on very aggressive over-medication, none of which helped the patient. And almost always in nursing homes, assisted living centers, or hospice where they all died. Therefore, the deaths that would normally have happened within a month or two, a person being in those environments from their end-stage diseases, was now all 100% credited to COVID-19. Therefore, the actual number of people who've died because of COVID is only 6%. Well, that doesn't make it a pandemic. That doesn't even make it as lethal as an average flu season. But they've destroyed the economy. Even in Australia, they arrested a woman who was thinking about, just a thought, that maybe she should and others should go out and peacefully protest the draconian lockdown in Melbourne. They arrested her in her pajamas in front of her children. I played you the clip. Well, people in Australia were outraged. So on Saturday, there were demonstrations in Perth and Melbourne and Sydney, all across the country. And they were arrested, hundreds and hundreds of arrests. Again, they were peacefully protesting that this woman had been dealt with in draconian measures. Well, guess what? And I'll report it today. I'll report it right now, that it's official that the Australian government's own website admits the COVID tests they use are totally unreliable. The Therapeutic Goods Administration, a government office, claims, quote, there is little evidence to assess clinical utility of PCR on blood tests. So if the tests were not accurate and the ones they gave were the PCR, which is completely unreliable for this, because you could have had a cold 20 years ago and test positive for coronavirus, even though you don't have corona 19, you have an old corona. Remember corona 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11? Yeah. And it can't even tell you the difference in viruses because it's a magnification study. It's not a viral load study. So everything you could do wrong in science, the fraudulence of this science is as bad as anything I saw except for back with AIDS testing, with the worthless test that Gallo patented. In any case, so now they have to admit that the people that they're quarantining based upon false information. Quote, the extent to which a positive PCR result correlates with the infectious state of an individual is still being determined. Quote, there is little evidence available to assess the accuracy and clinical utility of available COVID-19 tests. End quote. Wow. Boy, did they get it wrong. And then they put their whole city in lockdown and arresting people, and a doctor prescribing hydroxychloroquine, which is known and proven in 51 clinical studies to help people prevent COVID or overcome it quickly if it's taken in low doses in the first 7 days. They'll arrest those doctors. Wow. So that's what we're dealing with. Anyhow, back in a moment, we're going to play some of these short clips.
But first, I have to admit I'm getting suspicious of some of the things that we're told about the coronavirus. It seems we're often fed exaggerations, and almost always to make us panic. Today's example is this.
Australia has recorded its 103rd COVID death, with a central Queensland man testing positive to the virus in a post-mortem examination. At just 30 years old, he's the youngest Australian to die from the virus.
And that does sound like shocking news. It's not just a tragedy for his family, his partner and his friends. The big worry for the rest of us is that it's just 30 years old. Now, until now, Australians no younger than 42 have been killed by this virus. Not one. It's basically been a killer of the old. And Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk today jumped on this fact. 30 years old, she's been under huge pressure to drop her ban on tourism into Queensland and use this death to send a warning.
We extend our condolences, and it's a timely reminder too for all Queenslanders that this COVID is real, it's out there, and it has impacts on Queenslanders. And in this case, we have lost...
Warning is this really, particularly to the young? How much does this death justify the severe lockdown still in Queensland? Now, as I said, the death is indeed a tragedy. But we've got to ask what, in fact, killed this man. Was it the virus or was it something else? Because here is Queensland Chief Health Officer.
He has a complicated medical history, and that also needs to be worked through. Unfortunately, we do see young people die from respiratory diseases all the time. Whether or not COVID-19 was the precipitating cause for his death, that is how we report it. Any person who dies who is infected with COVID-19, we declare it as a COVID-19 related death.
Well, that is very interesting. So this man had other serious health issues, and we don't actually know if it was the virus that killed him. Now, more importantly, as you heard, any person who dies and has the virus, that is called a COVID-19 death, even if it wasn't even the virus itself that killed them. And this is important when we're trying to work out exactly how dangerous this virus really is and to whom. You see, half our dead were aged 80 or older. Many had underlying health issues. In fact, three of the dead were in a cancer ward in Melbourne. Death number 100 was a 93-year-old with dementia in a nursing home. So we have to really ask how correct it is to say that all of our 103 deaths so far were caused by the virus. And it's the same question wherever you look. In the United States, 43% of virus deaths, by one count, have been in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. 43%. And again, how big a factor was the virus? Now, I'm certainly not denying this virus is dangerous, but so many things we've been told about it have turned out to be untrue and usually exaggerated. We were told, for instance, that between 50,000 and 150,000 of us would die. Now, that was completely wrong. And we were told that we'd run out of intensive care beds by April 5. Again, completely wrong. We were told that golf had to be banned to save lives, which was nonsense, and schools had to be banned too. But then, once again, it's Queensland's Chief Health Officer letting the cat out of the bag when she explained just why she told Premier Palaszczuk to shut down Queensland schools in March. As I told you before, she actually believed the evidence that showed that schools were not a high-risk environment.
Okay, that's just one journalist giving you his opinion. Any journalist doing their real homework would find this similar. If you start off with an inaccurate test and you can't prove that the test is going to mean that the person will come down with a virus, then how can you make public policy that can impact an entire world? In fact, this is from Dr. Peter Bregan, MD, highly respected person, quote, the number of deaths from COVID-19 remain reassuringly low, and quote, Anthony Fauci's proclamations are not science-based. Fauci is a publicity, is a politically motivated person, and so ignores the worldliness and of all the other data emerging from the CDC. So the idea is, frighten people, not cure people, because if they wanted to cure people, they'd be using at least five different commonly used medications that have been approved by the FDA, one for over 65 years, has been used on hundreds of millions of people. And you heard the MD, PhD, top American epidemiologist from Yale, who said in his entire career, he has never found any medication that was as safe and effective as COVID against any disease as hydroxychloroquine with zinc and erythromycin. And yet all that is dispelled, that's considered fake news, and it's scrubbed off Google and Facebook. That should tell you something. but unfortunately for most people, it doesn't. I'm going to share a commentary now, and I'd like you to call in and share your points of view. As I mentioned at the top of the program, we're expected to believe without question, and if we do question, we're immediately attacked. There are legions of corporate shills, sock puppets, bots under their control that can put 100,000 negatives against you. No matter what your business, if you're an author, writer, if you own a restaurant, they can do anything they want to you. So it tells people that maybe I should keep quiet if there's a consequence to being right or honest. So here is what they have told us. Trust them. Trust them. Okay, let's all start with we're going to trust you. Okay, if you say that we need a $3,300 medicine that has caused 16% or 14% of its users in a clinical study to go to the hospital and 50% to have other adverse effects, which means there's going to be about 70% adverse effects, and that's just in this test. Imagine long-term use. Oh, we'll trust you. It's not going to hurt anybody. And so we all should raise up our hands and say, I want that chip. Oh, and by the way, there is a new FDA-approved chip to make sure you've been vaccinated. I'll get into that on tomorrow's program. It's in effect right now. But before, I just one little question, just probably completely insignificant. But here's my question to the New York Times, Washington Post, Jeff Bezos, Facebook, Google, the Trump administration, all of the accolades in his administration, the CDC, Anthony Fauci, FDA, and all the other people around the world who parrot the same view. Were you also honest and truthful without negative consequences? You told us on environmental issues that DDT was safe. You lied. Asbestos was safe. You lied. Tobacco was safe. You lied. GMOs are safe. You lied. Obama's DARC Act to forget GMO labeling so at least we would know if something was genetically engineered or organic. You said only GMO. You lied. You said glyphosate in Roundups was safe. You lied. You said wood-powered renewable energy would work. You lied. Nuclear power was safe. You lied. Clean coal, that was Obama's big thing, would revolutionize. And it was now the whole media trumped the new clean coal. You lied. Hydrofracking was safe, and the chemicals and drinking water wouldn't be a problem. You lied. Carbon tax to reduce greenhouse gas would help us. But you and Al Gore all lied. Geoengineering was the future, and it was safe. You lied. Agent Orange didn't impact the vets, the 3.5 million veterans that fought in Vietnam. You lied about the vets and to the citizens who've had to live with that deadly legacy. You said that we need to give the largest polluters subsidies. You lied. The first green revolution, which was exporting our fertilizers and heavy machinery and pesticides to poor nations to increase agricultural yield, was great. Rockefeller Foundation sponsored that. You lied. It caused the destruction of sustainable agriculture everywhere in the world where it was used, including in India. When it comes to our health, you said sugar was safe. You lied. Synthetic hormone replacement therapy for 10 million American women using it per year was safe. You lied. Vaccines had all been proven safe and effective and had proper testing. You lied. You said that there was no propaganda for the human papilloma vaccine, but it would reduce cervical cancer. You lied. You said psychiatric drugs like SSRIs, Paxil, Zoloft, Effexor, Ritalin were all good and could help us and even cure people. You lied. You said that all psychiatric problems are brain chemical imbalances. You lied. There's not a single scintilla of evidence anywhere in science proving that. To the contrary, I have it on film, and you'll all see it in the near future, on my new documentary on manufacturing madness at the American Psychiatric Conference. You'll see a very healthy young woman taken into 12 different psychiatrists, leading psychiatrists, not just your run-of-the-mill psychiatrists, top ones. And they all diagnosed this person with a different psychiatric order disorder and gave her a prescription for a powerful psychiatric drug within 2.5 to 7 minutes of visiting her. Now watch what happens when, boom, they're out on the street and suddenly it's, you just saw this woman. She's completely healthy, yet you gave her a prescription, said she had this bipolar condition. What was the basis? And suddenly, like a deer in the headlights, it's all subjective. Well, if it's all subjective and no better than a sugar pill placebo, why didn't you just give her a placebo? Something wouldn't hurt her. Here's the side effects. Read the side effects of the medication, because I have all the side effects of every psychiatric medication. If there's one really corrupt, perverted, completely perverted in science area that is not scientific, it is psychiatry. It is a shame. It is a sham. It is a fraud. It hurts people, kills people, disables people, and every psychiatrist should be walked away from. Walk away from psychiatry. Walk away from electroconvulsive therapy. Walk away from lobotomies. No, I apologize. Every member of Congress, every judge in the United States, every assistant district attorney, every prosecuting attorney, and every attorney general, every lawyer in the United States, no exceptions, should have to be forced to have a lobotomy before they're allowed to practice. Maybe we then have a different outcome. You said Vioxx was safe. It only killed a minimum of 60,000 up to 500,000 people. No one went to jail. No one's reputation was harmed. You lied. You said AZT against AIDS would be the savior. You got a small, proactive group within the AIDS community to virtually dominate, heavy-handedly dominate, destroy any other gay journalist's reputation. They destroyed Charles Ortley, one of the most courageous publishers in the history of gay publications. He's back, thank goodness. And I hope that he and other progressive gays take over as leadership into a new movement, because, my God, was it a mess. Because they had advocated for AZT. AZT was the most toxic drug ever created, and yet it was used at 15 to 1,600 milligrams a day, and suddenly 325 to 50,000 Americans died. Those lives could have been saved. So you lied. Anthony Fauci was a part of that. Electroshock therapy works. It does not work. Fluoridation is good. It is not good. You lied. 5G and the safety of electromagnetic frequencies and mobile phones in general, all good. Ask Bill and Hillary Clinton, the laughing buffoons of the Democratic establishment, selected and then elected. They lied. Mammography is safe. It is not. Thermography is safe, but mammography can cause as many cancers as it diagnoses, and it's got a lot of false references. You lied. Polio vaccine and SV40, the simian virus 40 contamination. Not a big deal. We eliminated polio through the vaccine. You lied. You simply changed the terms to flaccid paralysis, so anybody who had polio was now listed as a different condition. You also said that mercury amalgam silver fillings in your mouth were safe. They were not. You lied. Efforts to reduce drug costs. There's one doctor who's in his own hospital. His own hospital was charged $10,000+ for a simple COVID-19 antibody test, a test that's worthless, and the insurance covered it. I have that actual story. So, reducing drug costs, you've done nothing. Obama did nothing. Bush did nothing. Clinton did nothing. And, of course, the idiot in the White House is not capable of doing anything. You lived in denialism of the disease epidemics in the United States, like obesity in children, adult diabetes in children, heart disease in children, arthritis in children. Not a single thing have you done with these buffoonish surgeon generals. None are worth a damn. So what's the purpose of having someone except for a figurehead and help them get the next position in their career? You've done not a single thing. You have not recognized an epidemic of disease, obesity, depression, anxiety, and dealt with it in a non-pharmaceutical model. You lie. You lie about infectious disease outbreaks. We didn't have a measles epidemic. We didn't have a chickenpox epidemic. And the ones that were getting it, the majority had already been fully vaccinated. You lie about its effectiveness. Thalidomide, you used it as a sedative to prevent anxiety and morning sickness. You lied to all those people using it. The Tuskegee experiment, where you thought that African Americans were experimental animals, So for 40 years, you allowed all the people to be in the study who were infected with syphilis not to be effectively treated just to see the outcome, knowing full well that syphilis is one of the most easily transmittable diseases. You can get it in a handshake, a kiss. It's in all the body fluids. So how many people suffered and died, and how many other people developed congenital syphilis because of the people? Was anyone at Tuskegee experiment overseeing this, creating it, and working with it ever held responsible? No. You lied. Simpsonwood Conference, where a group of doctors had an emergency meeting and were told that, yes, there were over 100,000 children in a study on the MMR vaccine, and yes, it showed a correlation between the vaccination with the MMR vaccine and autism. You immediately said, no, nothing is to get out on this, and you lied. But under Freedom of Information Act, one person took minutes and recorded it, so we know all the people from the World Health Organization, the people from the FDA and the CDC and the vaccine manufacturers all working together to cover it up. The media wouldn't touch it. You lied. You also lied about the MMR vaccine cover-up with black boys. Young black children, male, 36 months and younger, had over a 400%, I've seen 324% to as high as 400% increase in autism. Now, if you extrapolate that, that would have been 100,000 African-American young boys end up with autism for the rest of their life because the MMR vaccine was known at the time by all the scientists working at the CDC to cause this, and they covered it up. Has Congress, Republican or Democrat, brought Dr. William Thompson and all the people under oath? No. What does that tell you? And where's the Black Caucus? And where's Black Lives Matter demanding that they, since this was systemic racism, the same organization gave you Tuskegee, gave you this increase in African-American boys. Where's the outcry? Where's the demonstrations? Where's the marches? They don't exist. It's all a lie. Sequencing the human genome was supposed to give science mastery over mechanisms of life so we could find cures and prevention of disease. Instead, it was used for patents and profiteering. You lied. You lied about the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the assassination of Martin Luther King, the assassination of Robert Kennedy, the assassination of Malcolm X. You lied, 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 lied. MK Ultra, PSYOPs against citizens, secretly dosing people with LSD and brainwashing experiments on citizens, the Church Committee. You lied. 9/11, Building 7 and demolitions. You said, oh, it was because of fires. It was not. You lied. Anthrax scares, foreign terrorist attacks. You lied. Blame Palestinian bottle rockets, not Israel-guided strategic bombing. You lied. Operation Condor in 1975 under Reagan's White House, CIA operations to murder union leaders and socialists or scientists, anyone advocating for a peaceful way of dealing with Latin American nations. You had them killed, yet you smiled to the public, waved that feeble-ass little hand of Reagan, such an idiot, and you lied. Under historical events, the prime directive for dropping bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, both lies. There was no need to do that. The Gulf of Tonkin issue, where you said that the North Koreans were torpedoing ships, the Maddox. You lied. Operation Ajax, CIA operation to create coup against the Mossadegh in Iran, a democratic elected person who was pro-West. We would have had none of this conflict with Iran. But it was handed from Truman to Eisenhower. Eisenhower gave it to the British, and then the CIA got engaged and they overthrew Mossadegh. Israel attack on the USS Liberty. Why is that not in anyone's talking points to ever bring up with AIPAC or anyone else? Because it would show that the Israelis were really ready and tried to sink and destroy every human life on a U.S. Ship in order to blame it on one of the other, I think it was Egypt, and get United States against them. Not a word in the media about that. You lied. The invasion of Serbian Balkan wars, you've only heard one side of the story from the Clinton group and Madeleine Albright. They both lied. The invasion of Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, lie, 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 lie. the long history of regime changes, notably the Ukraine, Honduras, Iran-Contra, and of course, in South America, 9 different regime changes in just the last 20 years. You lied. Operation Northwood, the CIA attack on Miami to blame Castro. They didn't do it, but they were going to do it. Then they lied about it. Under Clinton, the false flag bombing against U.S. embassies in Nairobi and Tanzania. Both were false flag bombings. But nobody will talk to the Clintons and put them on the spot about that. In economics, the neoliberal capitalism, the trickle-down ideology, the belief that free money for financiers will trickle down to the masses. It never has happened. You can't show me an example of it happening. You lie. Shredding the Glass-Steagall Act. There's Hillary and Bill Clinton. I guess they do a tag team each day to see who can be the most vile. They lied. Congress lied. And Wall Street lied. Job creation. We're going to create jobs with NAFTA, CAFTA, TIP, and TTIP. From Obama backwards, they all lied. It killed jobs, made once viable cities like Camden, New Jersey, which has zero unemployment at one point, and Detroit. It made them into ghost towns and ghettos. They lied. Obamacare. Not once did Obama have anything to do with this outside of promoting it, because it was all written by the insurance industry and the hospital associations. That's how things are done. Oh, we're going to reduce the rate through competition and promise of reduced family premiums. Went up, not down. They lied. Consistent promises of tougher rules on lobbyists. They lied. Consistent promises for increasing minimum wage. They lied. Whose interest does the Federal Reserve serve? We should have no Federal Reserve. Can't do that because there's just too much money made by those people associated. They lie. Tax loopholes favoring mega corporations to not pay any taxes. Hewlett-Packard, United, General Motors, Verizon, Apple, Google, Amazon. You pay more in your taxes than they do. They lie. Turning a blind eye to offshore banking subsidies, Citibank, FedEx, Exxon, Merck, Microsoft, Pfizer, Bank of America, etc. They lie. In defense, the consistent renewal of the Patriot Act. There's no justification for it. Obama's National Defense Authorization Act, where you reduce habeas corpus. The President of the United States can order a killing of any person on earth and will not be held accountable for it, just like Obama wasn't. Obama making broadcasting board of governors subordinate to the Defense Department, now controlling the media. The war on terror. All these are lies, because the budget right now is anywhere from 58% of all of our taxes go to the military-industrial complex. 90% of that is not needed for our defense. Everything there is just antiquated duplicity and multiplication of errors. They have been shown to give 10 contracts for the same job. Every general, procurement officer, admiral, they're all on the payroll and go right back into a place where they know everyone and get their contracts done. The consistent claims of troop withdrawal from Afghanistan and Iraq, lies. Closing Guantanamo, lies. Why we have to support over 900 military bases around the world, we don't have support any, not one, lies. Obama's START treaty promise, instead, he increased nuclear weapons spending by $1.5 trillion, was not called out on it, lies. The FBI infiltration of terror cells and role of failed domestic terrorist attacks, those were lies. The U.S. creation of al-Qaeda during Soviet occupation of Afghanistan, they lied about that. U.S. support of jihadi organizations, the Mother Muslim Brotherhood, and playing off ISIS in Islamic nations, Saudi Arabia working with them, they lied about it. The U.S. role in creation of clandestine mercenary armies in other countries, Thailand, Laos, Korea, Indonesia, Rwanda, Philippines, they lied about it. And then the social and domestic issues, they lied about the need for Citizens United. We shouldn't have it. Eric Holder and FISA documents to collect records of U.S. citizens. That was lies and illegal. The war on drugs is the most insane war in American history. It has cost more deaths than all the other wars of Americans combined. There should be no war on drugs. All prisons should be open of non-violent offenders. Let them do community service at local levels in their communities, supervised by people in the communities. and then expunge all records of everyone who was ever arrested for drug use and let them regain some sense of rights and dignity to reenter society. Provide halfway houses that will help these people with counseling and get them jobs. We won't do it because we lie. Insurance promises for covering disasters and accidents. I walked up and down the street and I talked with my neighbors. There was less than 6% return. They paid 100% of their premiums. The insurance company said, well, for the hurricane, we can only give you 3 to 6%. They lie. Insurance companies lie about everything. Educational improvements through charter schools, lies. Warrantless wiretapping, lies. Promises to prevent foreclosures, lies. A free press and mainstream media completely owned by intelligence and corporations, lies. COINTELPRO provocateurs to carry out violent acts and blame on American political activists and groups, lies. FBI rampant spying on African-American families in the 60s and 70s, they lied about it. Protections effects of FEMA, lies. Democrats as the upholders of civil rights and LGBT and women's rights in caring for the poor and minorities, total lies. Republicans as the upholders of free speech and economic liberties for all, less government will improve your lives, lies. Israel is a beneficial and sacred nation, lies. The Christian founding of the U.S. and its divine mandate, lies. Federal health agencies care about well-being and health of the population, lies. A woman has the freedom to choose whether to give birth or not, lies. We're lied to all the time about everything. So, on the one hand, they now want to say, we've lied about all this and 1,000 times more, but trust us on this. Okay, want to trust them? That's your right. I don't. That's my right. And finally today, just one quick announcement. It was 3 years ago that I mentioned I had met with the station manager and development director and station program director, Tony Bates-Time, and I said, the station's in crisis and it needs to change and radically change. You can't just be switching a few programs around. It doesn't make a difference. We have no money. We don't have development. We don't have public relations. And we're dead last in every single market. So it's something the whole foundation has done wrong. Got involved in identity politics. People that should have been off the air a long time ago or given up their place didn't do it. Nobody wants to relinquish power. And I said, I will voluntarily do that so that you can get in new youthful voices, which at least would pump some new blood into the station. No, you make too money for the station. And I thought at the time, that's the wrong answer. Well, now it is the wrong answer. But over the weekend, I had good news from Bertold Reimers. Bertold, the station manager, agreed with me that if this doesn't work, it doesn't work. But at some point, if we all voted for Ralph Nader, we would have none of the problems we have today. None of them. But we didn't. And he was the only candidate until Jill Stein who could have made a difference. And stupidly, we went for the lesser of evils because of our political and ideological associations. Big mistake. So what I'm going to say is simple. As of today, I'm going to only be on WBAI for another 2 weeks. That's it. After 45 years of helping the station raise over $50 million and bring in all of its audience, and for the best or worst of that time, the station has not changed for the better. I believe that what will help the station at least have a little longer to live, because at the national level now, they don't need a coup. They don't need to do what they did underhandedly and surreptitiously to come in at 6 o'clock in the morning a year ago and close it down for 30 days, which caused probably 70% of our audience to go elsewhere. All the stations are dying, but they're zombified. There's a big pot of gold in their licenses, and they know that. So guess which station is a commercial station? Well, there's two, KPFK and KPF, or BAI. The rest are non-commercial. They're worth a lot less. So guess which one they want to sell or barter, trade in some way to get that money? BAI. And now they don't have to give a coup because of the desperation of a $3 million loan becoming due and not having any money to pay it and all the other expenses. They're all in the hole. The only time they get any money is when there's a bequeathment and you can't run a station hoping someone dies and gives you money. I believe that there's two things BAI can do right now. You could go over the next 3 months to all community radio. Bring in people from communities who are responsible, intelligent, and have something that will empower the local people. not just screeds or soapboxes to yell and scream and denounce, but rather something that builds, something that fosters growth and conciliation and cooperation within neighborhoods, all neighborhoods, affecting everyone, and change so that you could get funding through scholarships, foundations, and grants. If you had your mission as community-oriented, I think it would make enormous difference. But someone has to make a sacrifice because nobody likes to give up their job. They hold on to it like it's an entitlement, that it's a vestiture. It is not. It is a gift you're given for a period of time. Also, you have to have a station that has some continuity, some sense of assimilating ideas. There's nothing here. It's like a Rube Goldberg construction, just one show after another, on, off, all seeing which one will make the money. And that's not the way radio works, because there's 5,000 other successful nonprofit radio stations and commercial radio stations in the United States. And we refuse to look at anything they're doing because they're sellouts. We're not talking about advertising. We're not talking about commercials. So here's the number. If you wish to keep in touch with me after the next 2 weeks, you can listen live every day. I won't be on BAI, but I will be doing my own show. And my live number is 774-337-6068. 774-337-6068. Or the archive number is 701-719-9976. Now, most people will say, well, that's kind of stupid, Gary, because the fact you're giving up your time to let someone else younger and with a different voice representing community issues, is everyone else going to do the same? No, I'm not naive. I don't think anyone else will do it. But at some point, someone had to vote for Ralph Nader. And too few people didn't. They took the easy road. BAI is not going to change, and it's not going to survive unless there's radical change. And even then, it probably won't once they get so deep into the debt that a court takes them in to a judge and says, Judge, we need our money, and they're going to have to sell some station. And it'll either be PFW in Washington, where they won't get very much money, or BAI in New York, where they'll get a lot more money. So that's what this comes down to. If enough of us say we need to radically change in a constructive, positive way, where we have some control over that change, then I believe BAI could be a station that represents the people at the local level. And where I gave that advice 3 years ago, and they said no, the station's no better off but worse off today than then. Again, look at the worst of two candidates today, and think if you'd have voted for Ralph Nader, and how many other progressives, and how many other parties, and how many other views there would be today. I look at the long term. I look down the road, not just immediate. And today it's just immediate. We can't pay a signal. We can't pay a phone. We can't, oh, let's put another program by Gary on the air. That's not going to solve any problem. We're on life support. And we've got to either have the courage to make the big change, or we create the inevitability of going off the air permanently. So I'm making my sacrifice with the hope that others will say, yeah, I mean, these audiences on BA are tiny, the support is almost non-existent, and the older group are the only ones who are true believers who listen to any of the shows, and they're good shows. But Richard Wolff does a great show, Ralph Nader does a great show. They don't need BAI. But BAI shouldn't just be a podge-pod to put together a bunch of syndicated shows, because you're not getting a new audience, you're not getting a younger audience, you're not getting an audience that's just really going to be vital to the neighborhoods and to the issues that involve people on a day-to-day level. That's all I have to say on that. Have a nice day, everyone.